Hello everybody and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the special mixed rules bout on 1X, One Championship show coming up on March 26th. This is between Rod Tang Jipwangnon and Mighty Mouse Demetrius Johnson. What a fight this is going to be. It's kind of a difficult one to pick. I mean, so you've got to think the first round and the third round are One Championship Muay Thai rules. So it's Muay Thai in the cage circle with the small gloves. And then the second and the fourth round are MMA rounds. So I keep going back and forth on this and I keep thinking to myself, okay, well, it suits Rod Tang for this reason, then it suits DJ for this reason. And obviously the first thing that everybody thinks is, okay, well, don't get knocked out in the first 3 minutes by Rod Tang and then DJ is going to take him down and sub him. And I don't know if it's as clear cut as that. I definitely think, of course, that DJ is going to be able to take him down at will. And I think once he hits the floor, he'll be able to dominate him as much as he wants with strikes and you know, submission attacks. But we also don't really know what Rod Tang's been doing as far as his grappling training. You know, of course he's taking this very seriously, but they are very much throwing him in at the deep end. Now, the question is, can Rod Tang do any damage in the first round? And he's not notorious for hurting people in the first round. But then again, Demetrius Johnson's not notorious for subbing people in the first round either. He normally takes a bit of time to work. So depending on how well Rod Tang's invested his grappling experience, his grappling time, his training, will depend on how much of a stubborn individual he can be if he's on the ground or if he's, you know, trying to defend takedowns. Now, before I get into any fight footage, one thing I will say that concerned me a little bit is I've seen Rod Tang working ground and pound. And if I'm his grappling coach, I'm not teaching him anything from top position because the likelihood of him being there is very, very slim. The chance of him being in a top position for ground and pound is only if he's going to knock DJ down. And I even think still it would be safer to let him get back to his feet if it's one of the MMA rounds. So with that in mind, the first round is going to be Muay Thai. So of course, Rod Tang is going to be comfortable walking forward. And he's not going to get taken down. And with Rod Tang fights, there's this constant steady pressure that he uses. He's not a really fast starter, but he's not a notorious slow starter either. He does pick at his opponents, but he's very consistent in his pacing and his range. And this finish of Sokhti, this was an early second round finish, it's one of the best demonstrations of basic Muay Thai skills that I've ever seen. I just love the way that he dismantles him. The way that he picks his shots and he mixes his targets, and he's really not doing anything particularly complex. I mean, look, hook, low kick, teep, jab, hook, low kick. Nothing complex, hook, low kick. But look, now you can see Sokhti's legs hurting. He goes body shot, low kick that time. Here we go again. This is the second knockdown. Hook, low kick. Body hook, head hook. And same again. He's not doing anything particularly complex, but now look at the space between him and Sokhti. He's feeling very pressured. His lead leg is hurt, massively hurt. So if Rod Tang can put DJ up against the fence in the first round and beat his legs up, that's going to take away a lot of the things that DJ does well. It's going to take away his movement and his footwork. It's going to make his takedowns more difficult as well. Of course, DJ's not going to stand there and be beaten up like that. And this is where I think the circle plays into DJ's advantage. Because in a boxing ring, in a Muay Thai ring, Rod Tang would be able to trap him in the corner. But DJ's got such good movement and he never finds himself backed up against the fence. And unless he gets turned off the fence, which we've seen a few times. I mean, Rod Tang might be strong enough to turn him off the fence, but in the opening round, I mean, you've just seen Rod Tang in his ideal case scenario where he's walking Sokhti down and he's just picking him with shots. Hook, low kick, jab, hook, low kick. Really, really simple stuff. Then you think to yourself, okay, now they're in this circle. DJ's not going to stand in front of him. It's going to look far more like this, with DJ in and out of range and bouncing around and being very erratic and difficult to understand, difficult to pin down. Like, he is not going to be easy to control. Look, in and out of range, switching his stances, constantly changing his line. It's how he drifts across there. Like, constantly changing his line, constantly changing the distance between him and his opponents as well. So he's not there for Rod Tang just to hit at will. Rod Tang is going to really have to be aggressive with his footwork and be very controlling with the way that he cuts DJ down if he's going to be able to land clean shots on him. And then the second round arrives and DJ's level changing. His speed and transition into the takedown is phenomenal. And then once he's on the floor, this is against, I mean, you know, The guys he's fought so far in ONE Championship have been good grapplers. Every single person that he's fought, even his guillotine win, they've all been guys that have known exactly what was coming. They've been trying to stop him and they've not been able to. The difference here is that there's going to be a lot of things that Rod Tang is not even going to be able to understand what DJ's doing. Like, you look at the movement, the control that he uses here. I mean, just watch this. Takes him down. Let's get to the next clip where he's in side control. Watch the work that his legs are doing here. So he's in half guard now. It's an open half guard. He's going to try and circle his leg in and can't quite reach it because this is his opponent being aware of what he's doing. As soon as he feels that foot on his knee, we're looking here. As soon as he feels that foot on his knee, he moves his knee so DJ can't hook it, but then DJ drops off to the side. Like, the guys that he's up against, look, he's built a good frame on the inside with his arm here. He knows what he's doing. He's trying to get himself in good posture. These are all things that it would be difficult to teach Rod Tang in a short period of time, which means that as soon as DJ gets his hands on him in the second round, he's massively vulnerable, hugely vulnerable. He's really got to make that first round count. I mean, DJ, look, he attacks an arm here. He doesn't get it. Switches straight to a guillotine. Knees to the head as well. You know for sure that Rod Tang's been kneading the head a few times, but he's not been kneading the head in this position before. You know, these are all things that DJ is going to be able to work into his game. Neck attacks are going to be available for him very, very often. And look how he's driving his hip in. You can even see his opponent's got his arm caught across his center line, twisted up in a very nasty position. But DJ is an excellent neck attacker. You know, he's going to feel confident that once he's gone through 3 minutes, he's got 3 minutes to work this kind of attack. Take him down, drown him up against the fence, and attack his neck as he's scrambling back to his feet. You know, even allowing Rod Tang to scramble back to his feet and scramble into chokes and guillotines, taking his back and a variety of different things. There are lots of things that DJ is going to be able to throw at Rod Tang in that third round, which Rod Tang is not going to be properly prepared for. Rod Tang in the first round and in the third round, of course, he doesn't have that fear that DJ is going to level change and take him down. So he can really push forward and he can be very aggressive. And something that he'll take confidence from is that DJ's not really a combination striker. Like, he's in and out of range and he'll pick you and he'll move and he'll throw a kick and he'll move and everything is like single shot, single shot. If he steps in and starts throwing combinations, as we've seen in the past, he often gets clipped. He often gets hurt. You know, he's been dropped in the first round before. I'm not saying that Rod Tang's going to be able to catch him and hurt him in the first round, but if there's no danger of being taken down, Rod Tang has to push forward into that range because the second round and the fourth round could be absolute nightmares. He might not even hear the bell in those rounds. So if you're Rod Tang, you've got to make the most of those rounds. That first round starts, he's got to walk forward. He's got to walk through anything that DJ's trying to throw back at him and aggressively cut him down because he's got 3 minutes to work. That's not a long time. You know, it took him 4 minutes to stop Sokti, and Sokti stood in front of him taking those shots. DJ is going to be on his bike, he's going to be moving, he's going to be stinging him and switching his stance, and there's going to be a lot for Rod Tang to comprehend in that first round. Now, what we do love about Rod Tang, and one of the reasons why he's called the Tank, is because he does like to march forward, and he's got a wicked left hook. So if he can keep pushing forward, keep driving DJ towards the fence, then any time he starts to creep out the side, he's going to start clubbing him with that left hook. But I mean, look at the attitude on him here. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, all the way through Rod Tang's career, I mean, 267 wins on his record. Well, yeah, 267, 42 and 10 is Rod Tang's Muay Thai record compared to DJ's 30 wins, 4 losses and 1 draw in MMA. Rod Tang, as far as I can see, has not won in the first round. As far as his recorded career goes, I've not seen him win in the first round. But what I have seen him do is hurt people in the first round. What I have seen him do is good work in the first round, an ability to break people down and get to them even when they're trying to get away from him. But you're still seeing a lot of these guys he's fighting are standing in the pocket. They're standing trading with him. There's that left hook. Look at that. Catches him on the way out. Lovely shot. He has got an excellent left hook, but he's going to have to be like aggressive and confident in pushing forward to try and take some of that movement away from DJ. Now, we have seen DJ struggle a bit with low kicks in the past, and I do think that that's something that Rod Tang can use, but you know, there's always the risk of him trading those low kicks with with those quick long punches that DJ's got. This is the Rod Tang that we need to see from the very opening bell. like walking forward behind a tight guard and forcing DJ into a close range fight. This is the left hook I'm talking about. Like pushing forward, catches him on the counter there as Sergio steps in. There's definitely the opportunity to catch DJ, but it's not going to be nearly as often as it is with these other guys he's fought in Muay Thai and kickboxing. DJ is going to be using his footwork at a far larger amount. And the other thing you have to consider as well for DJ is that these are 3-minute rounds. Like the guys this morning were sparring 3-minute rounds. And it just seems like it goes in no time at all. If you're used to fighting 5-minute rounds, for whatever reason, 3 minutes seems like it's not even half a round. So like in DJ's mind, it's like, okay, I've got 3 minutes. I'm going to be elusive and I'm going to pick him off as he's moving towards me, but not staying and engage and start catching those body shots and low kicks that we've seen. Because they're the things that will make a difference to DJ. Then when the second round starts out, and then, of course, now Rod Tang's got an entirely different mindset. Now he knows that he can't march forward with reckless abandon because DJ is most likely going to level change. So now the game is, how do I stop DJ taking me down in order to stay on my feet as long as I can? And Rod Tang might be specifically focused on takedown defense in the second round. He might be entirely focused on trying to catch DJ with a knee as he comes in for a takedown. But, you know, it's going to be a battle in that second round. And if he gets into the third round, then he's back to Muay Thai. And then DJ's, you know, he's 2 rounds deep and he's a little bit discouraged because he wasn't able to put him out in the second. Because that would be a massive confidence hit for DJ. And then if he's dealing with this Rod Tang that he's back walking him down, confidence he can take his power shots and keeps digging to the body and chopping the legs, then, you know, you might see DJ start to get hurt. And then, you know, it becomes a far more interesting fight. Like, lovely work following shots in. Anything that DJ throws when he's on the feet is going to be vulnerable to Rod Tang. Anytime he opens himself up, there's going to be counters there because you don't have... I'm not even going to do the maths because I'm going to be terrible at it. 300 and something. A load of Muay Thai fights. You've got to think, you know, he's seen everything. He's seen everything over that time. He knows where he's capable. He knows where he's dangerous, and he knows where he's at danger in this fight. He's also had a few runouts in the Muay Thai circle with the small gloves on, so even those MMA rounds aren't going to feel too weird for him, aside from when DJ's wrapped around his legs. Now, just watch the way that DJ works over people on the floor, because the thinking for everybody is, DJ is going to take him down and sub him, and that's going to be the end of the fight. That'll be as soon as it gets to the second round, foregone conclusion that DJ subs him. But maybe DJ doesn't want to. Maybe DJ wants to prove a point and do damage. Like, you've got to think Rod Tang's had over 300 Muay Thai fights, so he's going to have some scar tissue. So if I'm DJ, I'm thinking if I can take him down and progress my position, I could start chopping and you know, chipping away at him and start to open up some cuts. I mean, look at this control up against the fence here. No, and these, you know, Kingad, these are guys that know what they're doing. They're building frames. He's postured on the fence here. He's got his elbow into play. He's built a frame. Look, I mean, this is the stuff that I'm talking about. You can't teach this stuff over a couple of months. Like, you can see Kingad's got his elbow in here. He's also got a frame built in here. So there's now something between him and DJ. And if at any point in this space DJ postures up to strike, that frame follows him and creates space for his opponent to escape. But watch the hip movement of DJ. We're watching his hip here. As he feels that frame on his hip, he drops his leg to the side and he scoops it back with his knee. And you can see his opponent trying to stop him doing it. Little scoop and gone. And that's at the same time as him threatening this arm, because now his opponent's put this in frame. Now that's an Americana position. So we've got the dual threat of him threatening the far side arm as well as nullifying the near side arm. Like, multiple things happen when DJ's on the floor. There are several conversations going on at once. Like, he's on a Kimura trap here. He's going to chip at him with a couple of knees at the same time. You know, so often you'll see these short knees to the body or little shots that he drops in that kind of go unnoticed, but are always depleting his opponent. And then, you know, again, if you're caught in this position, if you're caught in this Kimura and you can feel your arm and your shoulder twisted up like that, like, is Rod Tang in a position where he wants to risk his shoulder being torn apart and taking him out of his career? Because that is a long-standing injury. That's something that would affect his lead hand for a long, long time. It might not be worth it. DJ might be able to put him in a position where he's just not going to take the risk, you know? Heel hooks would be a good attack as well, because, you know, there's the tendency to want to strike your opponent if they're chasing your legs. But you've got to think, I mean, the danger. We saw it with Gary Tonon the other day. He got caught clean chasing ankles. Like, there is a tendency to try and want to hit your opponent. But if you also don't know at the same time what they're trying to catch you in, you could be very vulnerable. Like, these kind of circumstances for DJ are really strong. This is something else that stuck out to me as well. It's a lovely level change. And again, you know, you think to yourself, if they've had a good back and forth in the first round, but DJ's been able to, but Rod Tang's been able to clamp onto him with a tie clinch and work his body, maybe he's hurt DJ's body and he thinks, right, start the second round, I'm going to come out and I'm going to clamp onto the neck and I'm going to work that body with knees. It changes when takedowns become involved. Watch this level change underneath here. It's lovely work. Little knee to the body and then duck under. Look how fast that is. Look how fast that is. It's really nice. Yeah, let's watch it slow motion so we can fully appreciate it. Little knee to the body, and then he shooks the elbow to force his opponent to square, and then, oh, every time I watch it, I notice something different about it. So he goes knee to the body. His opponent moves his back foot away, and he's leaning into him. You see how DJ twists his body, drives him over, which forces his opponent to bring his leg back to be square, to stay strong. He uses it to kind of weight himself so DJ doesn't just boss him around. And then after that, DJ goes straight in, level change. And you can see his opponent going for a tie clinch there, look. It's like that game where you're like, you have to catch a paper money between your fingers before it hits the floor. You've played that game. My dad always used to do it. Catch the £5 note and you can keep it. Never catch that £5 note. That's what he's trying to do. He's got the tie clinch here. DJ shooks him, makes him balance. And then level change underneath. Just lovely work. It's going to be so difficult for Rod Tang to stop taking him down. And the other thing as well, you know, just as we said in the first round with DJ, anytime he opens up, there's the risk of him getting countered. Anytime Rod Tang opens up in this second round, there's the risk of him getting caught, getting him level changed underneath if he's punching, or getting his kicks caught if he's throwing legs. And then once it hits the floor, look at this elbow he cracks him with here. Lovely slicing elbow. Catches him really clean. And, you know, this is the danger of DJ on the floor. You know, knees to the head, elbows to the head. You know, there's going to be scar tissue on Rod Tang's brow from all the Muay Thai fights he's had. You don't have over 300 Muay Thai fights without getting a few stitches. And look at the little knee and the little movement, you know. Clamped onto him, good pressure on his head. Little knee into the side of his head, and then switches straight around to a front headlock. And again, a very, very similar situation, which is incredibly dangerous for Rod Tang, because as he's coming back to his feet, his neck is there ready for guillotines. He gets past the guillotine back to his feet, and then DJ's level changed underneath and he's back on the floor again. You know, I'm so interested to see how Rod Tang's going to deal with this second and fourth round, if it makes it there. Because DJ is one of the best in the world at taking people down and controlling them on the floor. You know, it took an Olympian, a gold medalist, to cause him issues in the wrestle. You've got to think that DJ's going to be on his bike in the first round and Rod Tang's going to try and force him into a striking exchange, which DJ's not going to play. Then the second round comes out, DJ's most likely going to level change, be able to take him down, probably first or second attempt. And then it's all about Rod Tang's ground defense and what he can, you know, what he can hold up against DJ. If Rod Tang's able to put it on him in the first round, and he's able to land some of those left hooks to the head and the body, maybe soften DJ up a bit, clinch him and land some knees to the midsection, and then, of course, those low kicks would be hugely beneficial because DJ's movement will be there all the way through the fight. So the sooner Rod Tang can slow that down, the better. What an interesting fight, I have to say, because you've got two guys that are the best at what they do coming into a fight where they both have an opportunity to do what they're best at. Now, the reason why it's been stacked the way it is, of course, is because if it was MMA first, then the expectation would be that DJ would sub him in the first round. Having Muay Thai in the first round means that we're definitely going to get 3 minutes of DJ trying to strike with one of the most experienced and dangerous Muay Thai fighters on the planet. And this, I mean, it kind of harks back to the old days, you know, the old events that we used to watch where you would match, you know, a boxer against a wrestler or a kung fu guy against a sumo guy or whatever. We're putting a high-level MMA fighter against a high-level Muay Thai fighter. You would probably be struggle to find two guys of a higher level that would take this kind of risk to fight one another. it's fascinating. I can't wait for it. It's a really interesting fight on a really, really interesting card. I'm just about to do the breakdown for the featherweight Grand Prix final as well. Kind of an aftermath and what's happened so far. So make sure you check that out as well. But this whole card's great. There's loads of good fights on it. I can't wait to be watching it live. And I'm just intrigued as to what Rod Tang's going to look like if he gets into an MMA round and how DJ deals with the Muay Thai pressure of one of the scariest guys in the sport. It's going to be a good one. Make sure you catch it. Catch you next time.